Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. It's Fish Cakes, EB, and JP. I was just telling Jason during the break, I watched this video online where Harold Reynolds, who's now with MLB Network, broke down Jose Altuve's game-winning home run. I guess that was the AL Championship Series against the Yankees.
Yes.
Where everybody says
walk-off.
There's a chance he was wearing a buzzer because he didn't want the guys to rip off his shirt. And Reynolds was siding with Altuve, and I kind of came away convinced. It's about a 2 or 3 minute video where he goes through a pitch sequence of the batter before Altuve, who was walked, and Aroldis Chapman, great closer for the Yankees, who throws over 100 miles an hour, was wild with his fastball. And then he went through the pitch sequence against Altuve, and it made sense that Altuve, at least the way that Reynolds was presenting it, that Altuve would sit on the breaker because the guy's fastballs were wild, mm-hmm. and just the I think it might have been a 2-1 count or a 3-1 count, and then this narrative that Altuve sprinted to the dugout, changed his shirt because he didn't want anybody to see his chest,
right.
It seems to be overstated because it was about 2 minutes before he finally went to the clubhouse to get there, and he was dapping up a million people. It wasn't like he avoided some sort of celebration, avoided reporters, avoided, you know, guys jumping all over
him. Were the
him.
Other guys going into the clubhouse to
I
get their shirts on?
I think other players did go into the clubhouse to get shirts as well.
I don't know. It just looks suspicious to me.
I don't disagree that it looks suspicious.
And I don't believe anything the Astros tell me.
But you can't
Reynolds,
believe them. Bunch Harold of liars.
They can tell me that they're born on this planet and they're flesh and blood, and I wouldn't believe it.
Right. But Harold Reynolds doesn't work for the Astros. He's just an MLB Network
announcer.
He's watching the film.
I know.
He watched
the
film of Altuve.
When Carlos Correa tells me there was no buzzers in 17, 18, 19, I'm sorry, I don't believe you.
I agree with you there. I don't agree what players say. Guys have lied so many times, from Rafael Palmeiro to...
AJ Hinch was asked point blank by Tom Verducci, and he avoided the question, wouldn't answer the question.
He did clarify
until
the
he
next
clarified.
Day.
Okay, but it's not that difficult to say, nope, no buzzers.
Yeah.
I just find it...
Who would say... Major League Baseball investigated us. When you're asked, were there buzzers?
Right.
Why do you say Major League Baseball investigated?
Well,
until you get backlash, and that's when you clarify.
I think there's the investigation on the Red Sox is supposed to come out here in the next couple of weeks.
I don't know what's taking so long.
So that'll be interesting.
I don't think that was as a widespread systemic type of a scandal. So I don't think that their penalty will be as severe. Could be wrong, but I don't think it will be.
I mean,
there will be a penalty, but I don't think it's going to be a
I did watch a replay of George Springer's first at-bat where he was booed by the crowd, and then he had a swing and a miss where he kind of fell to the ground, and they cheered for it. So the Astros are just going to get it all year long.
You're right. What is
they brought it on themselves. I don't feel bad for them one bit.
We're doing these interviews, and I'm sure Kyle and some of the PR staff down there will tell us beforehand, but we're going to be sitting down with, obviously, Rizzo, probably Davey. We usually have Zim, I'm sure Trey. I mean, we're probably going to get a handful of players for those two shows. Are they going to want to talk about it?
Probably not.
They're probably
Rizzo's
so
already
sick
said
of talking
he's not talking about it anymore.
Okay, so that's off limits, I would think.
Rizzo said this would be the last time I talk about it. Yeah. Said it a couple weeks ago.
And their PR staff will say, ask him anything you want except for about the
Astros.
Fine.
Yeah.
And I'm fine.
I got plenty to ask.
I'm fine with it.
No, I have a notorious planner if you download it, because that's usually what you forget to do.
I've already determined that I've run my head into that wall 100 times. I'm just bringing a book, like an old fossil.
You have a book.
I have a book that I've started. I've read a few pages of, and I'm going to bring that. That's going to be my entertainment.
All right. Is it about a serial killer or terrorism?
It is about like somebody in like the most elite Air Force unit like on the planet that gets dropped behind enemy lines. Terrorism.
True story, right?
True story.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much out on fiction at this point. I pretty much only do
fiction's boring.
Nonfiction.
Boring.
Fiction's kind of boring, to be honest.
JP, you got
books are boring.
JP's got to sneeze into your sleeve. That's not cutting it. This.
See, he's worried about.
You got to sneeze. That's the go to. I mean, the CDC.
Yeah.
You got this. That doesn't work.
No. That just
sprays everywhere.
Airborne pathogens everywhere.
I don't want to hear from you. You legitimately launched a spittle, which hit me in the eye.
I have no control over that.
What do you mean you have
control
no control over
your. I don't have control over
you
it.
Talk.
Something. I have no control
Try
over
not to spit when you talk. Or have food in your mouth.
That's a human thing that happens.
That I haven't done it. What I'm saying is today.
Yeah.
You launched. Spit,
yeah, that's unintentional.
Well,
what you did was intentional.
It's because you
it's an intentional
had,
botch.
You had freaking you know
my French vanilla,
your popcorn or something in your mouth, and food flies from you.
All right.
You have the most food and spittle that comes out
we
of your
We should
mouth.
Start doing the show with masks and goggles.
It's all unintentional.
You chew
it's
with
all...
your mouth open, probably. Something hurting. Terrible habits.
I might.
I mean, we're not close.
Look, he's not going to get off of it.
We're
until,
like 4 feet apart.
Until the CDC or whoever, you know, Trump says we have a vaccine. He's not going to get off of it.
There's not going to be a vaccine.
I understand. I'm being facetious.
Yeah,
My point is you're not going to get off of it. This is going to be on your mind until you know there's a vaccine.
No, I'm not even worried about
or
that.
The numbers start going.
Vaccine's not even on my radar because I don't think it's not plausible.
Right, so when are you going to stop thinking about it?
I don't think you can develop a vaccine for a virus.
Hopefully, when it all passes and everyone's already infected and healthy.
Okay, that could be months.
Yeah, then be months,
not years.
Yeah, months, and then it's going to come back next year.
Right.
Now, maybe by next year they might.
Remember,
have
it's almost March.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, but they say that the whole theory
warm weather's coming.
The whole theory that hasn't been proven that this is a virus that will succumb to the warmer weather. Some viruses don't.
All right. Well, I'm banking on the 75 degree temps.
Yeah. Let's go to Dave in Arlington. Dave, what's up?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, look, I've been to some amazing sporting events before. I was at the buzzer beater with Villanova, went in the championship a couple years ago. I followed Mickelson down the stretch at Muir Field to win the British. I was at the Wilder Fury fight last weekend.
Uh-huh.
There is nothing like a heavyweight prize fight. I was shocked at how electric this atmosphere was. One thing that made it really cool was I'd say half the stadium was from England. I mean, they just overran this place. They were raucous. They were loud. And then to see a man like Wilder get beat down, like we've all seen fights on TV, but to see a man get beat down in person as bad as he got beat down was just, I mean, the whole thing was just unbelievable. So on your bucket list.
Is that your first
heavyweight champion?
Is that your first big boxing match? Because I would say it's not just heavyweight. Because if you went to like a Floyd Mayweather fight during the heyday, or if you went to a big UFC fight, I think you're going to have that same type of electricity.
Oh, no question about it. This is my first fight live, but just seeing that one, just because it was so hyped up, was amazing. But any of those prize fights would be incredible. And to see it in Vegas, and I saw it with my dad and my two boys. It was just list check.
What was Vegas like? The city like after the fight?
Well, so the fight was at MGM. We stayed at Caesars, so we walked, you know, almost a mile to get back. I mean, there was, you know, everybody poured out into the streets.
Right.
The Brits were they just owned Vegas for the entire weekend. I mean, they were everywhere, and so they were. It was like a premier match, a Premier League match afterwards. So they had this hilarious song that it was set to "Walking in the Winter Wonderland." It was a tribute to Tyson Fury. So they had thousands of these Brits singing this song, that walking down the strip. It was awesome. Total spectacle.
All right, very cool. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it, buddy.
It does look like Deontay Wilder's exercised the rematch clause. So there'll be a rematch, which I don't think will be much different because Fury's pretty much dominated every round of their, let's see, 12 plus 7, 19 rounds.
But somehow he got a draw in the first one?
Well, he was knocked down twice. Which, you know, generally the judges will then
he just seemed like such a loser.
And they couldn't believe he got up after the second.
He seemed like a loser when he came up with the excuse that, oh, well, the 40-pound costume that I wore took my legs out from me, and that's why I was, you know, mediocre.
It's sore that's loser lame. Talk, but I heard our boy Luke Thomas talking about it, and he's a former Marine that used to hump with, like, these 45-pound bags.
Sure.
And he was saying, look, Tyson Fury's better. And Deontay Wilder should have given him credit and said, look, he outboxed me, whatever. But let me give you a 45-pound vest and hang out and stand around for 25, 30
minutes. Oh, I'm sure it doesn't feel great, but you know what?
It does affect your legs.
He's a bit of a dope for wearing a 50-pound costume before he goes in and fights a 7-foot monster. It's not very smart.
Well, what did he get, $25 million? Or did he get more than that?
I don't know. I know that the pay-per-view
and they're going to fight again. He's going to get another 25.
Right.
The pay-per-view buys were between 800 and 850,000.
That's official.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Let's go to Big John. Big John calling from Pennsylvania. What's up, buddy?
How are you guys doing today?
All right. What's up, man?
Well, you know, I just thought the boys behind the glass needed a little love, so I'm going to order a cameo from them.
You are.
Very good.
Now, what is your request going to be?
Well, my fantasy baseball league is drafting in near Silver Spring on Saturday, so I'd like them to give them a shout-out.
Give your fantasy baseball league a shout-out?
They're certainly up to that task.
Hype up all the participants.
Yeah, maybe do a little rap, whatever they want to do. I'll give them the specs when we get off, and we'll see what happens.
It'll be the best $20 you've ever spent,
yeah.
Big John.
But, John, do they care about the Junkies producers?
Well, I once gave them a shout-out from Steve Garvey, so, you know, this will be along those lines.
Former Junkies guest, Steve Garvey.
How did you give him a Steve Garvey shout-out? How did that work?
I went to a an autograph signing at Dodger Stadium in 1995 and had him sneak into my tape recorder, and then I played it back for the game.
All right. Well, that's Steve Garvey. He's like borderline
former
Hall of Famer. Jones,
yes, you don't remember what he was promoting when he came in here.
Oh.
You can't pull it.
I'm going to get some sort of arthritis.
No.
Medicine.
No, hold on.
No?
You remember this?
I remember
Wonder
the product.
Wonder Bread or something.
Oh, no, it was
bread. Something like that.
It was those little rolls.
Yes, yeah, you're very close.
The Hawaiian.
King's Hawaiian.
Yeah, I remember something.
You were very close.
Thank you.
Pretty close, EB.
By the way, one more thing. I am performing in Adams Morgan Friday and Saturday night, Club Heaven and Hell. So
performing? What are you doing? Sex act?
Stand-up comedy, man. My name is Hurricane, and I'm going to make the people laugh.
Hold on. Your name is Hurricane now?
You have a stage name now?
My stage name has always been Hurricane.
Hold on. I think I have my buddy.
Because he's John Hur.
My buddy has a comedian friend whose name is Hurricane. Isn't that like a... That name's already taken, I think.
I don't know.
Yeah, not with an E.
Maybe not
H-E-R-R.
It's spelled H-E-R-R.
Tommy Hur. Wasn't he a second baseman?
Oh, he was for the Cardinals. He was awesome.
So that's your stage name, huh?
Yeah, the Hurricane.
Yeah, so come out to Adams Morgan Friday and Saturday, 18th Street, Club Heaven and Hell, 9 p.m. and watch me.
I'd have a zing, but he paid for a cameo. So
yeah.
I'm not going to joke.
Yeah.
He bought, well, he bought himself amnesty.
I'd say you change
your
stage name
amnesty?
To the elephant. That's what I would choose.
Oh. That's so bad.
Hey, killing him.
EB loves being a bully.
He does.
He really does.
It's just too easy.
The elephant.
Well, the hurricane.
Why, hurricanes are bigger than elephants.
Well, that's true. That's true. But elephants are pretty big.
All right, coming up next, Mike DeCourcy is going to join us from the Sporting News. We'll talk some college hoops, Maryland with a comeback win. Got March Madness on the horizon. Keep it here with the Junkies.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV? Joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, it is Mike DeCourcy, Sporting News College Hoops writer, Big Ten Network studio analyst. And Mike, I guess we'll start with the Big Ten. Maryland with the comeback win last night. And after the game, Coach Turgeon was complaining about start times. What do you make of that?
Well, that's a tough one out of the box. I mean, look, that's the reality of college basketball in 2020. Mm-hmm. You have conferences stretching across multiple time zones. You have conferences stretched across 1,000-plus miles. I won't say thousands of miles because that would be inaccurate, but 1,000-plus miles in many cases. West Virginia in the Big 12 having to play, for instance, at Texas Tech, or Maryland, in this case, having to play at Minnesota. There's a fair distance to cover.
Right.
And that's the league you chose. And that's where the Maryland decided it wanted to stake its athletic future. And it has been good for Maryland in many cases, including the fact that they're currently leading the Big Ten in basketball. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think that's playing an 8 o'clock game in the central time zone on a weeknight is such an extreme requirement. We're not talking about he's playing in LA and then having to get back the following day. We're talking about Minneapolis, which is obviously it's not right next door to College Park, but that's the league. Just as it could have been Iowa City, it could have been Madison. It could have been in Chicago, Evanston, in Northwestern. Yeah. That's the league, and I don't know what else to say to that. Is he complaining about being in the Big Ten? What would he propose? There are several cities that are in the Central Time Zone. I could have included Champaign as well. So I mean, what's that? 4 or 5. Different teams in the league, their central time zone. Is it better if they're in College Park and they have to get home? I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, if he was here in studio, I'd say, Coach, do you just want it as an 8 o'clock game? So it's a 7 o'clock game in Minneapolis? I mean, what do you want? It's an hour difference. What's the big deal? I totally agree with you. I think these coaches need to zip it about that. Anyway, so let's talk about Maryland as a whole. Now, this is a game last night that they were down 16 at the half. And, you know, going on the road in the Big Ten has been brutal for every team. But they trailed big. They only hit 6 of 28 threes in the game, but they hit the big one. Marcel with the big one with 3 seconds left. This is just, even though Minnesota's not, you know, one of your better teams in the conference, it's still obviously a tough place to go. This was just a really good road win. And what's it tell you about the Terps?
Oh, I mean, first of all, it says a ton about their resilience and their determination. And I think one of the aftermath said to me more than anything was to watch how they reacted.
Right.
after Marcel hit the shot. and see how connected they were to each other and how much it mattered to them. I think that's important in any circumstance, to see how much the players really care about each other and how much they care about winning. And you could see it from the reaction to on the bench when the shot went in, how much the players who were involved in that team wanted to win the game, and then how they reacted to Daryl and his after the shot went in, and both in the immediate aftermath and then more so after the game was sealed, when they deflected the shot by Uturu that would have gotten the game back for Minnesota. All of those reactions to me says that you have a team that cares about each other and cares about winning. And that's the number one ingredient to going far in March. Maybe number two, first you have to have players, but mm-hmm. Number two ingredient to going far in March is that they are connected to each other and invested in the mission.
Where do you put the Terps in the grand scheme of things when you look at the national landscape? Are they in the same class as Kansas and Baylor and San Diego State, in your opinion? Or do you think that there is a clear separation from the one seeds to the possible twos?
Well, in terms of the bracketing, it's going to be difficult, although Maryland just took the first step toward – the way I described it, I believe, on Big Ten and beyond, is you look at it and – you know, Gonzaga and basically Baylor and Kansas are already on the opposite shore. I mean, they're in. They're not going to be not one seeds unless they do something really foolish and out of character. So they are on the opposite shore. But then you have Gonzaga and San Diego State that are just kind of treading water and hoping to, you know, the current will float them over. Mm-hmm. And then you have Maryland, which has the opportunity to swim past those teams. And that's where they are. Now, there's a lot of, as I said, there's a lot of sharks in those waters, and they got by one last night. They didn't get by with the one on Sunday, but they got by one last night. What the advantage Maryland has right now over anybody else that's really in this pursuit is that they have opportunities that no one else is going to get. In the Big East, I just don't know that I won't say it's impossible. I suppose that if one team from the conglomerate of Seton Hall, Villanova, and Creighton emerges as a clear separate, with clear separation from among them, that they can perhaps do what Maryland has the opportunity to do. And that's win so many big games that you get past those other teams. But I think that Maryland is the best position to do that. It's just that it's so hard. I mean, the games they have to win, Michigan, Michigan State, you know, the one that they had to win last night. It's so hard to win all of them.
Right,
they don't get a one seed unless they win all of them. But if they do, I'm not sure you can deny it to them.
Yeah. And they haven't lost at home. Only team in the Big Ten to go undefeated so far. Like you said, they still got Michigan State and Michigan at home. And game day is going to be there this weekend, so it's big for them. But you're right. It's been very impressive the way they've been able to play on the road over the last 3 weeks when they really started off in a bad spot, couldn't win anything on the road.
Yeah, I think the way that team has developed has been very impressive. And that starts, you know, I mean, I guess in a sense it starts with Anthony Cowan, but he's been much the same player all this year. He is a terrific senior leader who is a multiple threat as a point guard, as a passer. One of his better games last night, 9 assists. He's always been a big shot maker. Last night was not one of his better shooting nights,
right,
but he's always been a big shot maker. And you know, give him credit for the Morsell play. He comes down. He knows he wants to take it. He wants to take a three, but it's not there. A lot of guys would have just taken it anyway, even if it wound up in the bench behind him, or you know, the guy just flat out plucked it out of the air, which isn't impossible. And instead, he said, no, that's not there, so let's see if I can do something else. And eventually, that's how the ball found its way to Morsell, and that's why they won the game. And so, but then from there, you've got Jalen Smith playing at an absolutely all-America level. Even on a night where he only plays 24 minutes, he still manages a double-double. He still manages to get two blocks. And he didn't overwhelm or slow down Daniel Uturu. Well, partly because he was out there less than Daniel, but in the end, he got the win. And that's what he's been doing consistently all the way through the course of the second half of the season, through the Big Ten season.
This tournament, I think, will be crazy. All right. Not sure how you feel. You know more than I do. But when I hear a lot of people talk, guys in the media, and they say, I think, 15 to 20 teams can win the national championship. And, I guess if it's a wide-open tournament like people think, I would say yes. But you still got to win six games. I mean, do you believe there are 20 teams, 15 to 20 teams that can win six games? I'm not so sure.
I don't think so. I don't think the pool is that large. The outlier is 2014 when Connecticut would have, you'd have needed to stretch the container pretty hard to get them in at this time. I mean, that year they went into their final regular season game and lost by 40 and then still managed at the end to win the championship. So if you take that out, because I just don't know I still don't know what to make of that season or its tournament. I think that the basket is much larger than usual. I'd say 12-ish. Mm-hmm. And that's probably 50% larger than a normal field down around 8. And it's three times as large as in 2015, when I would go to my grave saying that there were only four teams that could have won it that year. Duke, Arizona, Kentucky, and Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Joined by Mike DeCourcy, Sporting News College Hoops writer, Big Ten Network studio analyst. You wrote recently about how Duke, the team that traditionally we just think, Duke's going to be a one seed, maybe a two seed, that it's going to be maybe tough to figure out where they're going to be seeded this year.
Yeah, because of, the multiple losses they have that are tough to explain. Stephen F. Austin is certainly a very good basketball team and not a joke team but that team's not supposed to come into Cameron and win, and it's still a quad three loss, even though Stephen F. Austin is leading their conference at this point. So that's a tough one. And then the Clemson loss, you're talking about a team that's game over 500 with no shot at making the tournament, and Wake the other night, and to a lesser extent in terms of competition, NC State, but in terms of form, it lost by 20-plus. So they just have not put the kinds of results together over the course of this season that one would ordinarily expect from a team that, if you look at the metrics, you're talking about a team that even now is listed as in a top five position by KenPom and the net. You look around at BPI has the ESPN one. I don't follow that one closely, but when I was looking for different metrics to see where Duke stood, I was like, they're still number two in that one. And yet you have these things happening. So, I it's really hard to explain, but I'm going to be very curious how the committee views them. And because, honestly, although they're Carolina fans this year, kind of not quite as invested because of the way the season's going, Kentucky fans are just waiting for them to be seated behind a Duke team with these sorts of losses on their resume, and no doubt will go ballistic if that becomes the reality. So very interesting to see what they do with the Blue Devils, and that's why I wrote about it yesterday.
Real quick, I want to ask about the ACC. Four are in my opinion, Florida State, Louisville, Duke, UVA. UVA held Virginia Tech to 11 points last night at half and escaped. They won by three. But I just want to throw this out there because we're tight with Mike Bray. And I would say Notre Dame is probably out unless they run the table and do something pretty special in the ACC tournament. But they're making things interesting with 18 wins. They won at Boston College last night. They have to get that signature win. They don't have a signature win. But they play Florida State next week. And then they play Virginia Tech. If they can win those last three conference games, that's 12-8 in the conference, Mike.
That's not going to matter.
Probably not. Probably not.
The 12-8 part doesn't matter. I mean, don't forget, we're only 2 years removed from Nebraska going 13-5 in the Big Ten and not getting in. So, the Wake game is not going to move the needle. The Florida State game is home.
Yep.
Virginia Tech is a quad two game. So it would help them to get Florida State, but at that point they'd probably need to make the final and climb over. And I don't know where they'll wind up on the bracket, but there aren't a lot. The problem they have is there aren't a lot of NCAA tournament caliber teams for them to meet in the tournament. And so they'd have to beat multiple such teams. And I don't know whether the route would provide that opportunity, because if you're on the one side of the bracket where, let's say, at this point, Duke and Louisville would be, you're probably only going to get a shot at one of them. I think it's probably mathematically possible you could get two, but you're probably only going to get a shot at one of them. If you're on the other side of the bracket, you might only be with Florida State, and then so you'd only get them if you made it to the semis. But meanwhile, you're just piling up more not impressive wins to get there. Mm-hmm. So right now you're talking about a team that's 3-9 against quad 1 and 2, and they have a quad 3 loss. I just don't see how you can make a case for them at this point.
Well, that's why I said they got to win their next three and then do something special in the tournament. But you're right. You make good points about that. We're just big Bray fans, and I think he's done a really
well, Mike's the best. He's just a wonderful person. And you know, I remember when he got so upset about the Florida State loss.
Yep.
And if that one had gone differently, and that crew did make some significant decisions, and at least one apparent error with shot clock timing that they missed, that you could see why he was so upset, because if they'd gotten that road win, it would have changed everything.
Huge. Correct. All right, Mike DeCourcy, appreciate the time, man.
Thank you, buddy. Good stuff.
Thanks, guys.
I mean, Bray lost to Indiana by a bucket, right? They lost to Louisville by 3. They lost to Syracuse by 2. They lost to Florida State by 1 down there. They lost to Virginia on the road by 1. I mean, he's been so close.
Nail biters.
He's been so close. And his team, the talent's just not great this year. I think he's done an unbelievable job to get 18 wins. Mm. But he makes a good point. He doesn't have that signature.
Coming up next, we'll tell you what Chase Young said at the NFL.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Combine, don't go anywhere.
Who are you trying to plug now?
No, I'm not. Just thinking about what I want.
Yeah.
Do I go to Matchbox?
Could do that. Could go to Cava.
And get a salmon salad. Do I go to Cava? Could problem is that. I got to go to Cava in Ashburn because I can't wait around until 10:45 here.
No, you can't. Why would you wait that long?
Exactly. I need to eat.
Well,
but I'm going to go to golf them today because I'm going to see what they have any new spring stuff. Any spring
I need
gear.
To text Buddy because
spring or summer gear out.
Buddy invited me to go over there and get fitted for the new
body.
What do they call it? The sim driver?
TaylorMade sim.
The sim. Yeah. I've been just too busy. I haven't had a chance to get over there yet. But I need to get
over
there.
I would have been over there yesterday.
I know. I'm thinking maybe next week. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping next week would be a little bit lighter on the itinerary. Although we're going to be in Florida until, what, Wednesday?
Tuesday.
We're there for blink of
less
an eye.
Less than 48 hours. Yeah.
We're going to finish broadcasting Tuesday, and then we're going to just speed to the airport for, I believe, a 12:30 flight back on Tuesday.
Do you guys want to hear a little of Chase Young at the podium?
Yeah.
Chase Young, of course, being measured at the combine, but he's not going to run, lift, do anything.
I told you that. You disputed me. You thought I was an idiot.
Well, because at the time, I don't know, somebody had information that said that he was going to run. Somebody said he was running.
You got faulty information.
He said during that he's going to do the drills. That's what he said. He's doing the drills.
Mm.
So. All right, here's Chase Young at the podium. A lot of people expect him to be the number 2 pick in the draft by the Washington Redskins. Here's Chase.
I definitely think I'm the best player in the draft. I think I showed it on my tape. You can go to every game. I think I showed it, I definitely think I put my best foot forward this year. I grinded hard. Two of my biggest things are hard work and dedication, and I'm going to bring those two to the NFL with me.
think that's what you want to hear. He's got some athletic arrogance.
Do you want to hear his interaction with Dwayne?
Yes. Sure.
Yeah, you know, me and Dwayne, we talk all the time. I knew Dwayne since high school. You know, he definitely loves the organization, and, you know, obviously he wants me to, you know, come play with him. But and I just think, you know, we're going to see how this whole thing turns out.
I wonder what he's really thinking. So it's got to be a thrill for him growing up in this area.
Yeah. I heard him talk about whether he was a Redskins fan, and he said kind of, but he just rooted for players.
Well, because it's hard, because in his lifetime, they've been terrible.
Yeah, he hasn't seen a good product his entire life. Well,
there's nobody young that loves the team.
And I think more and more of the younger generation is in the fantasy football world, they root for players, not teams.
Grab some more.
That's the way it is.
Yeah, give me more. Give me some more.
Yeah, you know, I try not to compare myself to anybody, but I do try to, you know, look at a lot of different players and, you know, take little things from them. You know, whether it be Khalil Mack, Von Miller, J.J. Watt, Nick Bosa. And so I just try not to really, you know, put myself up next to a guy. I try to be the best Chase Young I could be.
The Mathis
guy. I mean, he just looks so massive, like walking through the halls of the conference center at the combine.
I mean,
like,
he's 6'5".
If I were him, I wouldn't own a shirt. I would just have, like, workout shorts. I wouldn't have a shirt in my wardrobe.
You know what God did when he was born?
Yeah, I know exactly what he did.
Just hooked him.
Yeah.
What did he do, to Adam when Adam was born?
He might have been
paying attention.
He might have been taking a nap.
Yeah, I think he was snoozing. Yeah. Didn't give him nothing.
Poor Adam. Getting measured up against Chase Young.
Yeah, come on.
Right, what else?
Yeah, I watched the game. You know, I always watch you know, the Redskins, hometown team. Just because, you know, growing up being around the Redskins, it's definitely a good matchup, the NFC East. You know, I mean, that's really why I always watch the Redskins, just because I grew up, you know, around them. So.
Mm-hmm. He didn't have a Sunday ticket. Just watch whatever game, kind of like me. Whatever game they give you, that's the one you watch.
Well, look, he may be the next defensive end for the Washington Redskins if they do pick him number two. Probably likely to be.
I think that's the most likely scenario.
So you're going to have him and
Anything
Sweat.
Can happen, but yeah, it's probably is.
Probably Kerrigan, unless they decide to salary dump Kerrigan.
No, I figure they're going to Ryan wants to be here long term, and my understanding is he's probably even willing to take a little pay cut, maybe extend the deal, pay cut type thing, you know. I don't know. But in the previous regime, he would, as everyone says, he would already have been redone.
Oh,
with a big deal.
The only thing that kind of
he would have gotten
sucks,
way too much money.
The defense sucked last year. Okay, the defense sucked. I think they were right around 28th or 29th, depending if you looked at yardage.
Big
or
disappointment.
Points. It definitely sucked. But the offense sucked even more.
Oh, the offense was painful.
Right, so they drafted Chase Young and they were addressing the offense.
Yeah, but there were tons of reasons for that.
Of course, there were reasons.
Yeah, I mean.
But they need to address that offense.
You really couldn't expect the offense to be very good.
Oh, they need to add multiple playmakers to that offense to help out Haskins.
Offense is still going to be suspect. Barring some major additions, and, you know, doesn't look like the first round pick is going
to
be
especially
there.
Especially if Haskins doesn't start to ascend.
But if you add in Austin Hooper at tight end and another quality wideout to pair up with McLaurin, now you got something on your hands.
Okay, and they will.
They should.
And get Trent back.
Having Trent back would certainly help.
That would
you
help.
You wouldn't go into the season with Harmon as your number two?
I like Harmon, but I don't think he's a classic number two wideout.
He hasn't earned that yet. I mean, he's done some nice things. I'm a fan.
To me,
his guy was playing in the slot last year.
I like
Sims.
I like Sims in the slot, but, you know, still, he's not a carry you guy.
I understand that.
Yeah. I like Sims.
He's a role player.
To me, they ran so many jet sweeps with him, it became like obvious.
Well, I would stop doing that. That was stupid. Just use him as a receiver.
I like Sims as a slot guy. Yeah. He's shown a proficiency for that.
Oh, my God. It's not even close.
I'm just throwing it out there.
The Trey Quinn fan club is diminished greatly.
And you add a legit number two receiver. Harmon's a guy that should catch 40 or 50 balls
I'm telling you,
in a season.
And I
that would be a
just
remarkable
asked.
Year.
Yeah.
I would not hate on them targeting A.J. Green in free agency. If you go through his medicals and he's fine, people get hurt.
Yeah, but
it
he's
just
been,
happens.
Hasn't he been littered with injuries for a while now?
I mean, he missed all of last season. I think he's the wrong side of 30. I'd be cautious about
help.
Him.
He can still help.
He
probably could have come back a little earlier last year, but what was the point?
It was the Bengals, right?
What was the point?
Yeah, why would you come back for two or three games to get, you know?
I mean, if they were
worse
in the hunt for a division or a wild card,
right?
He would have been back week 8 or 9.
I don't know. I think AJ Green would be a perfect fit.
How old is he?
30 or 31.
Yeah, I think I'm out of the A.J. Green.
There's so
business.
Many guys that can look at in a draft. I mean, there's a ton of receivers.
He's 31. Receivers. He'll be 32 by the time the season starts.
All right, right now we're going to hook up the 10th caller at 800-636-1067 with tickets to a Washington Wizards game. Tickets are on sale now. You can get details at thefandc.com. Just give us a call at 800-636-1067. And if you're the 10th caller, you get the tickets. Caps back in action tonight. It does seem like Samsonov is going to be the goaltender. I think they're just waiting for one of those goalies to get hot. Telling you.
I think this is a normal rest day for Holtby.
So.
Yeah.
Or maybe they'll just both be playing well once the playoffs start. They want both of them to be kind of peaking at playoff time. Hopefully that's the case.
What time is the game? Is that 8 o'clock game?
I'll have to check it.
I don't even know where Winnipeg is.
I couldn't find Winnipeg on the map.
It's definitely in Manitoba.
No idea where that is.
Just say Canada. Isn't that good enough?
There's a billion huge country. Time zones.
I'm going to say central.
That's all you need to know.
No one cares.
Central, western.
I mean, can I watch
western,
a little bit
central.
Of it?
Yeah.
All right, we got to get out of here.
You won't, but you can.
For Bish, Cake, CB, I'm JP. We will see you tomorrow. Grand Danny, they're up next. Right here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.